Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Welcome back to another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host and former main event, NFBC main event champion, Dylan White. What's going on, man? How are you?
Not too bad. It's not Thanksgiving week for me up in Canada, so I'm kind of jealous of you guys going to have a nice holiday and watch football and eat turkey and all that. And I'm not. I'm just going to watch from afar.
You could take Thursday off and just, you know, take it in with your American brethren.
But the good thing is work. People at work are off, so it's quiet. So I'll be taking advantage of that.
Oh, there you go. So nice quiet day at the office, you know, not too bad, Dylan. Well, obviously we don't have a whole lot of news or anything to go through. There's been a handful of signings. Kikuchi goes to the Angels. I don't know. I kind of feel like it hurts his value in the sense of like wins versus if he was in the Astros again, kind of, but it's a good ballpark to pitch in. I would argue it's probably as good as Seattle, but skill-wise, he wasn't as good in Seattle as he is right now. I don't know. Depending upon the price, I mean, you get a lot of Ks with Kikuchi, and the ratios would probably be okay. Yeah, so what are your thoughts on Kikuchi going to the Angels?
So when I did my DC in my prep, I saw that he was going much later than his like projections were suggesting he should. He looked like a value, and I chalked it up to the fact he hadn't signed. If he was still with the Astros, he probably would have gone in like where his value was, his projection value was saying he should have gone. So I guess what I'm saying is, now that he's signed, now that we know where he is, which is the Angels, which is not a great team to pitch for, like you said, but also the park's not bad, so it kind of washes out. So maybe it's the same. Yeah. Like his ADP is basically right where he should be.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way.
Yeah. He was so good with the Astros after he left the Jays last year that I think he'll kind of be in between the two. So I like him. I like him. He gets strikeouts and he's great for fantasy in that case. And I think he's quite underrated. You know, he's not like an SP1 or an SP2, but he's definitely solid person in your rotation.
Oh, come on. You don't buy into the Angels and what they're building over there. They went and got Jorge Soler. They got Travis d'Arnaud, you know. Now they're signing they're signing Kikuchi. What's next? Juan Soto? I mean, you know.
I mean, I do like that they are making moves. They got Kyle Hendricks too, I think, right?
Hey, at least it's like interesting, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely, I think it's better for, well, it's better for us in the offseason to talk about, but I think it's good for the game, and they're not just tanking and kind of ruining Mike Trout's waning years. I think it's good.
Yeah, you know, hey, if you can win 79 games, you got to do it, right? So there we go. The Soto market is interesting. Hey, just throwing it out here and putting you on the spot. Where do you think Soto ends up?
Well, I'll tell you, it probably will not be the Jays as much as I would want them to sign him. I'm kind of thinking Red Sox. I think Mets, Yankees are like the kind of obvious choices, but I kind of think the Red Sox are going to make a big push. I don't know if it's the greatest fit because they have a lot of guys coming up. Outfielders too. I mean, of course, Soto will fit anywhere and make any team better. Great problem to have, but I don't know. It's a hunch I have that it may be the Red Sox. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm gonna actually say I think it could be the Mets. I think if it is what it's being reported as in terms of just like this pure bidding war of whoever is going to give me the most money, I'm the mercenary. I'm going there, and I don't fault them for that. Get all your money, young man. Get your dollars, kid. But, you know, I do think that, you know, if you're going toe-to-toe with Steve Cohen, I think that John Henry's going to hit a point where he's not going to want to spend that. And he'll be like, all right, we'll go after the next guy. You know, that's just kind of been their MO until proven wrong. I'm going to say I don't think the Red Sox closed that deal. I think the Yankees are crazy at this point for not just being like, whatever it is, we'll match it and beat it by 10 million. You know, they are the Yankees. They still produce and as much revenue as any team in the sport, almost any team in professional sports. It's a money-making operation. They have not gone out and been as aggressive as they typically would have been. Like if this was, you know, George Steinbrenner running the show, I would say it's going to be the Yankees. But I think that Cohen has that where Cohen will go and be like, whatever it is, I'll beat it by 20 million. I don't care if we're over the luxury tax for the next, like, you know, eon. I'll keep paying the luxury tax money. I got the ability to do so. It doesn't bother. I want to win a title. And I get that feeling. And that's an organization where, like, okay, like if you don't pay Alonso, like really versus what you would have spent to re-sign Pete Alonso, and then you're paying whatever it is on top of it, you're getting Juan Soto, and you're getting Juan Soto in his prime years, right? Like this could be the hat that he goes into the Hall of Fame in. He already has a World Series championship and two World Series appearances at 25. Guys like this just don't come on the market. And, you know, this is like, as far as pure hitters go, this is the best hitter, you know, in the game and the guy you're going to bet on to probably age the best over the next 10 years. So it'll be really interesting. I'll place my chips in the Mets and just Steve Cohen and his deep, deep pockets ultimately getting it done. But we'll see. I think that, you know, the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Mets all seem viable. I think we'd both love to see him go to the Blue Jays. Just as big Vladdy fans, you're a huge Blue Jays fan. I have a Blue Jays fan in my house. I cover the team. That would be fun, you know, because I'm down there during spring training, getting to see some Soto. Hey, I'm not going to complain. I just don't anticipate that that's going to be the case. So, yeah, there we go. I don't think we have any other stories at this point. We could talk about crochet rumors and that sort of stuff, but that hasn't really heated up at a necessary level that's worth discussing yet. So our big topic is we released an updated FYPD, or we'll be releasing an updated FYPD on the site. For those that don't know, this is first year player drafts in dynasty leagues, particularly deeper dynasty leagues. These are a very important part of the offseason. It's where you typically are able to acquire not only the most recent draftees from the previous summer's draft, typically the January 15th signings as well, depending upon when your FYPD takes place. I know that that's how mine typically operate. I have some other leagues where it's kind of just like everybody that's thrown back into the pool as well. But the most important players, I think, to know are those guys that haven't really debuted as professionals or had that first season of professional experience. They're the draftees. They're the top international signings. The international signing side of things, we have not factored into the board yet. We typically do that sometime late December, January. It's sort of post-handbook work for us. We'll have our full dynasty suite of rankings and positional rankings out by that point. We'll update then again once we know exactly where these guys are signing. And I think the thing is right now is there is a level of uncertainty on when these guys are going to sign. If Roki Sasaki does somehow throw a curveball into the typical international setup. That being said, let's get into the rankings. Roki Sasaki is a pretty good segue for us, Dylan. We kind of talked about this the other day. I don't think this is any huge shock. Sasaki is number one now on the FYPD list, as he should be. I'll even say I love Travis Bezzana. He's one of my favorite prospects. I like JJ Weatherholt a lot. If you read the Cardinals top 10 list that I recently put out on the site, I put a 60 on JJ Weatherholt. I discussed how fond of his hit tool and his blend of hit power and speed I am. This is a very good fantasy prospect. I don't think it's a rational conversation to say that you're taking anybody but Roki Sasaki. I just don't, you know. And I think you can argue he's the number one prospect because he's going to step right onto a major league mound and potentially have an impact year one with just as long as a runway as any of these other players, because he's still only 23 years old. So I think when you factor all of that into it, you're maybe giving away 2 years in the college guys, but it's also maybe 2 years of more immediacy in terms of impact. And there might even be a longer tail on this, because this could be one of the all-time greats to come over from Japan. So I think he's number one. Dylan, I don't know if there's anything else you want to add there. It's great stuff. We have an entire section dedicated to him on the site, so you can read anything you want about any angle of this story. We have Roki Sasaki content for days.
I have nothing to add. Even though I am a bit hesitant because of the kind of have a stuff step back last year compared to the year before, when he was just absolutely mind-blowingly dominant, even with hesitation, even with the potential that, you know, there's an arm issue that needs Tommy John, he's still the number one pick for me. I mean, it's basically Paul Skeens 2.0. I think that's not out of the realm of possibility for him to come in and be as dominant as Skeens was, and just the way that his dynasty value, Paul Skeens' dynasty value, has gone up. Even his redraft value, he's like the number one pitcher, the number two pitcher in redraft with Skubal. Like, that's the type of thing you can get Sasaki. Maybe not this year, but you know, in his career in the major leagues, he's going to have seasons mm-hmm. like that.
I think that's the case. Other changes here in the top 10. Nick Kurtz jumps up to number four from number five. Chase Burns jumps up from six to five. Charlie Condon moves down three spots. That's with the addition of Roki Sasaki. He's always going to move down one. Moves down two behind Kurtz and Burns. I just feel like the feedback that I've gotten this offseason, Burns and Kurtz could both be in the major leagues, I feel like, next year, and could have impact. And I think that they were all relatively close in terms of skills, blind taste test here of these prospects, all pretty similar, that I didn't think that was a huge shakeup. The other one is Hagen Smith moves from seven down to 10, bumped from the Roki Sasaki deal. And then I moved Braden Montgomery and Cam Smith ahead of him. Montgomery, just more good reports. And Cam Smith, I feel like, you know, there's been sort of a sea change in terms of where he's valued. There might even be a lot of people that value Cam Smith more than Charlie Condon and other guys that are ranked ahead of him. Still like it a lot. I think there's still some upside with some of these other guys, maybe more so than Smith, and maybe a quicker path to impact as well. Caglianone stays the same. We pretty much stayed the same up until number 25, where I put in Tamayuki Sugano, right-handed pitcher from Japan, 35 years old. Doesn't throw that hard. Doesn't strike out a lot of batters. It is very much a command control profile, kind of digging into it. Kyle Hendricks is probably a bad name to invoke right now, because I think it's kind of a tired cliche for anyone that doesn't throw hard. But it is sort of like he moves the ball around well, changes speeds, changes eye levels, hits his spots, executes. I think in a deeper league, you make this pick at the end of the first round, maybe in the second round, and a little more shallow, where starting pitching is important. You know, deeper leagues, the starting pitching, especially if it's a quality start league, those guys are going to have a little more value. He's not super exciting. I mean, you could get like a Ben Lively kind of season out of him, and I think he'd probably be pretty happy. So he's tough for me to sort of value in a dynasty list like this, because he is legitimately 15 years older than some of these guys.
Yeah, I think he's the type of guy that I'm only looking at if I'm competing this year.
Exactly.
And I would not take him in a if I'm rebuilding, even if I can trade him. Like, it's not worth that hassle.
No,
I would go upside if I was rebuilding. So yeah, it's definitely only if I'm competing would I consider him.
Moved Griffin Burkholder up a couple of spots. He jumped PJ Morlando, Kellen Lindsay, and Dakota Jordan. Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other names. Oh, Kale Fountain, third baseman with the Padres, power hitter, really like the raw power, pretty good athlete as well. He moved into the top 40. Kyle DeBars moves into the top 50 at 43. Twins I guess first rounder technically. I think it was a comp round pick, and good season at Louisiana Lafayette, good skills. He hit like 24 pumps at Louisiana Lafayette, but I don't think he's going to be a 20 homer guy. Maybe kind of like this year's version of like a Luke Kuechel, very similar like archetype, mm-hmm. where it's more of like a hit tool second baseman that has like enough skills in the other areas that like he's not a net zero. So I think he's kind of interesting. I moved him up, and then we expanded the list. I guess technically, you know, those guys I just mentioned, out to 100. So I would say it's like, without the names I just mentioned and the Japanese players, it's like another 50 plus names, 46 new names, full reports written on all those guys, kind of condensed reports, but goes into detail. And of course, all of their draft reports are then linked. If you click on their names and takes you back to their player profile page, you can see the draft report right there if you're a Baseball America subscriber. This would be a good time before we go into break to mention something that if you're not a Baseball America subscriber, right now is a great time. We don't do many sales throughout the year. If any, this is typically our big sale. We run it from now until the end of business, or I guess probably just midnight on Cyber Monday. It is a 30% off sale on all subscriptions. So get yourself a subscription to Baseball America and save a little coin while you're doing it. It's a great time to do it. Maybe get it for a baseball fan in your life, somebody you think would enjoy reading our content. And more and more stuff going up. We keep on expanding. Of course, we've done a sort of a full bore expansion into fantasy the last couple of years, and I think I've really gotten stuff rolling on the site with rankings, etc. And we're really getting into collectibles and baseball cards now. We're doing breaks. We have a lot of up-to-date, informative content on baseball cards. So a great time to subscribe to Baseball America. Plus, you get the top 10s dropping, top 30 soon, handbook season, all that other good stuff. And all of our full fantasy rankings will be behind the paywall as well. So you can get access to all that information, plus draft rankings and coverage of college baseball. Really anything to do with our beautiful game. With that being said, Dylan, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some sleepers, some names that I'm going to call out, guys that I kind of high value and want to target in my FYPEs coming up in the next couple of months. But we're going to take a quick break first. What do you say?
Sounds great.
When creating your own business, the most important part is your ideas. So why let the headache of registering your business hold those ideas back? It's time to learn about a great idea that will keep you going and growing, LegalZoom. LegalZoom has everything you need to launch, run, and protect your business all in one place. Setting up your business properly and remaining compliant are things you want to get right from the get-go, but you don't have to strain your brain or wallet. LegalZoom saves you from wasting hours making sense of the legal stuff. At LegalZoom.com, you can take care of business legal needs in just a few clicks. And if you need some hands-on help, their network of experienced attorneys from around the country has your back. Over the last 20 years, LegalZoom helped start, run, and protect millions of businesses. LegalZoom, now you're in business. Launch, run, and protect your business to make it official today at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL to get 10% off any LegalZoom business formation product, excluding subscriptions and renewals. Expires 12/31/24. Get everything you need from setup to success at LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. LegalZoom.com and use promo code BASEBALL. Disclaimer, LegalZoom provides access to independent attorneys and self-service tools. LegalZoom is not a law firm and does not provide legal advice except where authorized through its subsidiary law firm, LZ Legal Services, LLC.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
All right, and we're back. Baseball America Fantasy Podcast here, Jeff Ponce, Dylan White. We're talking fantasy FYPD drafts. Those are first-year player drafts. That is how you acquire players in Dynasty if you can't just pick up draftees or open universe guys off the waiver wire. This is typically how you do it. Just went through some of the changes within the top 50. That's what we had up on the site up to this point. We're expanding the list to 100. We'll expand the list again, as I mentioned, in January when the January 15 players sign. We do have an updated ranking for the international board, a top 30 that Ben Bather just put out on Tuesday. So if you listen to this on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, driving over to Turkey Day for, with the family or something, you can check it out. If you know you want to get away from an angry political conversation at the dinner table, Ben Bather's got you covered. He's got the top 30 international board. So check those guys out. You can get a pretty good feel, I think, for where they're going to fit into. Typically, the top 10 or so are going to fit into the top 50 to 60 slots. I would say the top two or three players, just based on offensive skills and upside and all that sort of thing, they're probably top 20-ish, 25 type of players. You know, last year, of course, we saw Leo DeVries, who's turned into a top 20 fantasy prospect kind of universally. Jesus Mate, who I think is kind of in the same boat, and a handful of others that I think are going to pop over the next year. So especially deeper dynasty leagues, these guys are great stash and holds. But that being said, Dylan, I have some names that I really like. So say maybe we go through like five of these names here. I don't know if you have any in particular that you saw that I listed out on that doc that I sent over to you, or names that maybe you weren't as familiar with that you want to get into a little bit as to why I like these guys.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned before the break, Cale Fountain of the Padres. Why don't you tell me a bit more about him?
Yeah, so, you know, there's some swing and miss concerns, but like I said, I think it's sort of the same general feeling as like Bentante, where it's big power. You know, he's a bigger guy at, you know, 6'4", 215, out of Nebraska, you know, corn-fed power guy, plus power coming out of the drafts. I think he's actually 6'5", 230 now is actually what he's listed at. So there you go. But huge juice, can hit stuff to his pull side. You know, maybe not the best defender at third, but he's got a big arm. Maybe a guy that can end up moving to a corner. But I think that Cale Fountain is definitely an interesting name to know. And I'll also say this, that like, I think the Padres have a really good track record of the high school players that they typically target in the draft typically turn out to be pretty good. And they did give this guy nearly $2 million. So I think he's somebody that could have major breakout potential next year. And even looking back, we may not be high enough on him, but I think just having him at that 40 spot kind of puts him, you know, on the radar for people in a variety of FYPDs. And I do think that if you're into big power hitters, he's definitely a good target for you.
Very nice. Very nice. So I know a lot of people's strategies in FYPDs is going for upside. And upside typically for hitters would be like tooled up, athleticism, that type of thing. Who after pick 50 on your list would you say kind of fits that mold of, you know, really great athlete, maybe a bit raw, but a great athlete that you can dream on the tools?
Yeah, I think D-backs, I guess like shortstop, center fielder, he's going to play up the middle, kind of raw. That's Titus Cecil. Just a really interesting player once again. Good athlete. Like when I look at sort of my athleticism testing scores and all that sort of stuff that I got from, you know, doing some work out there, he ranks super, super highly, you know, as a plus athlete. So when I look at something like that, he's kind of in that same category as like Christian Moore, Brendan Tunick, Tyson Lewis, Dante Norrie, Griffin Burkholder, Cole Mathis, Casey Sauke. Those are a lot of the guys that I'm targeting. And I think that Cecil is one in particular where he's not going to be super highly touted. He doesn't have a high level track record of hitting against advanced pitching. So there's going to be some doubters, but you know, young switch hitter with upside, signed for just under $1 million with the Diamondbacks in the fourth round. Still more projection in the frame. And when I see that, there's more projection, switch hitter, tooled up, Andy has athleticism, it's like, all right, I can start dreaming on some more projection plus runner. If there's maybe more power to come because of the type of output that his body puts out, add some more weight onto it, gets, you know, into some training, and all of a sudden this is a pretty serious player. So yeah, I guess that's I actually really like the Diamondbacks draft this year. So he's sort of another one that fits into that mold of like standout athletes with some interesting tools.
Right. So he's slotted in at 64 for you. So I like that back of the fourth, I guess, in a 15 team. Okay. So, you know, another thing people like to do is they look at who the Dodgers took and just kind of go down their draft. So you have a couple guys that you like, Chase Harlan and Brendan Tunick. Why don't you tell me a bit about them?
Yeah. So Tunick kind of falls into the same category as like Titus Cecil, where right. Super projectable, even better athlete than Cecil, kind of a cold weather guy, doesn't have the high level track record of hitting against super advanced pitching. And I think like those are the guys that you want to take a gamble on. They're boom or bust, but the payoff is usually huge. Cause I just think like, especially with some of these cold weather guys or smaller state guys that don't face as much competition on the circuit, they don't have as many bad habits sometimes. They also, you know, have an opportunity to take a big step forward based on all those tools and abilities and really be molded by player development. So Tunick is one of those guys in particular. I like Chase Harlan because I like the swing. Just a nice right-handed swing. It's funny because he's kind of gotten some, if you read Carlos's report, he kind of got beat up on it, but digging through the video that I had available, like, yeah, there is some swing and miss and some bad swing decisions, but he adjusted the barrel really well and, you know, loud contacts. So he was somebody that I was kind of like, maybe I'm seeing the same thing that the Dodgers were seeing just in terms of, you know, VBA and like ability to like adjust the bat and just consistently get flush barrels. So, you know, I like players like that, you know, more often than not.
Big power and can have a knack for the barrel. Pretty good guys to like.
Yeah, you know, it's also the Dodgers too. Like they got to hit a couple of home runs every year in the later rounds, or it wouldn't be a Dodgers draft. They draft better like after round five than they do like in the first two rounds.
Okay, so that's a bunch of hitters. What why don't we switch to the mound? Your favorite pitchers. Who do you like kind of in the back end of the 100, maybe?
Yeah, I think, you know, we start to look at some arms. One in particular, like, is Daniel Egan. It's a really good four-seam fastball. I know that, like, we can't always trust college data. It was, like, 20-plus IVB average. Well, so let's say it's more like 18. It had good arm side run. You know, did have some spin efficiency, so that movement I think was true that there was, you know, pretty good ride. Was sitting like 93, 94, touching 96. Smaller school guy, went to Presbyterian, so maybe there's a little bit more upside there too. Just going from a smaller school into a pro player development environment. The secondaries were all pretty good. Nothing was like crazy outlier, but it was all stuff where you looked at it and went, okay, like this could definitely be better, you know, in the future. And that was one in particular. So that was another Diamondbacks pick as well. So you can see that I'm into the Diamondbacks draft. But Cole Hertzler, right-hander out of Liberty that the Astros took. Another really interesting one, bigger body, good athletic testing data as well. Good fastball shape in particular. The velocity started to come on later in the season. Like his last couple starts, he was holding 4-6. Good gyro slider. It was more like 84, 85 during the majority of the season. Late in the season, started to pop like 86, 87, somewhere around there. A little bit better. Feel for a changeup as well. We saw what happened with Jake Bloss. We've seen it year after year. There's always some breakouts in terms of the pitching side of things in the Astros system. And I think Hertzler is, from this draft, maybe one of the better bets.
I like that. Where do you have him slotted in here?
I have him sort of at the back end of
91.
The FYPD. So yeah, so it's like closer to 100, but I think, you know, Not super fancy name, not somebody that has a ton of hype, but maybe like a smart pick as you get into the later rounds there. I'm in like 30 team leagues where, you know, there might be 250 picks in the FYPD. So having as many names as possible at your disposal was always a wise choice.
I actually had one more hitter actually I wanted to go back to that caught my eye when you sent me the list. Carter Frederick of the Royals. He's one that you really popped on. Just tell me more about him.
Yeah, so the numbers in his pro debut were pretty loud. It's a three true outcomes kind of profile. There's definitely swing and miss. He's a bigger guy. There's big power. Like I think it was like a 105, 106, 90th percentile in a pretty short sample size. So he hits the ball consistently pretty hard. Good swing decisions. Outstanding athlete in a huge body as well. So sort of that perfect combination of size and athleticism that usually portends big power production. And we're starting to see that already. He was a 20th rounder, had kind of an interesting background, was on campus at, I forget the first big school that he was at, but it was like Texas Tech, something like that. Washed out, didn't play. Ends up transferring to a JUCO, ends up at Oklahoma. Doesn't play a ton, got hurt at Oklahoma. I think he had some tragic stuff in his family life as well. So really unusual background, but maybe this is where he makes good in pro ball now that all things kind of get equal and he has these huge skills. I saw a little bit of him in the backfields actually in Arizona and was impressed with the size and the athlete. And he hit a couple balls in the screws. So he's a name I think to know, Carter Frederick.
I like it. You have him 73, 75, something like that. So I like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like I could have gone higher. I had him maybe like around 60 and then was like, I think I'm going a little bit too high now. You know what I mean? Like maybe this is higher than it should be. So I'm going to take him down a little bit. And I think I found like the right spot for him, kind of behind some of the pitchers and top prep names, but still in a spot that I think is pretty good. So I think he's a good name to know and to maybe target later in your FYPDs as well.
I'm going to ask, I'm going to put you on the spot and maybe kind of go off script here, but who on your top 100 here do you think has the best chance of being a closer in the major leagues? I know some people want to draft closers once they get kind of in the backgrounds because, you know, you're kind of throwing darts at starters. So who do you think has the best chance of being in the back end of a major league bullpen?
I think Chris Cortez is one that comes to mind, you know, as a potential option in terms of closing long-term, just has huge stuff. It's a sinker. We had him at, I think, 50 in the first list iteration of the list. He's at like 54 now. Angels pick as well. So, you know, those guys move fast. I think he's one that has, you know, true potential closer stuff. And I kind of go down the list. Chase Alsup, right-hander from the Orioles, they took out of Auburn. He's got huge fastball velocity, pretty good secondaries as well. He could end up not starting and end up in the bullpen and could be a potential closer too. And then another interesting one is Grayson Carter, Vanderbilt arm from the Yankees, has a ton of command issues, did not throw strikes. The numbers in college were bad, but I mean, like sits 98, 99, we'll get it up to like 101, 102. He throws smoke. Sometimes you can get those guys right in pro ball. Maybe they're a little bit better. So I think he's an interesting one to maybe keep in mind.
Huge extension on Grayson Carter too. I remember that from the NCAA data. Well, yeah, I'm out of questions.
Get him to throw strikes. Yeah, I was going to say, I think that was a good, neat wrap-up. We gave you some great sleepers, talked about them in a punchy way, kind of quick, and gave you some updates, talked about the 2025 World Champion Angels as they begin their their quest for supremacy. It's a good show, Dylan. What do you say?
I happy like it. Turkey I like Day. It. Yes, happy Turkey Day to you.
Well, everybody that's out there, once again, I'll plug the Baseball America sale we're having going on right now. 30% off all of new subscribers. So go and check that out. 30% off for an annual subscription is huge savings. So go and do it. It's great value. We give you lots of content. And we appreciate you listening to the podcast. So have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.